This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. You know, with the advancements of technology, you would think that romantic relationships would just be easy to have and maintain. But, you know, that's usually not the case. There seems to be such a disconnect in the dating world, and joining me to explain the effects that technology has on dating and relationships is dating coach and matchmaker Susie Parkus. Thanks for joining me, Susie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Compared to 30 years ago, do you think dating has gotten better or worse?
Well, first of all, I'm not that old, okay? But it has. In the time in which I've been, you know, a dating coach, I can tell you that I think every day and every week, it's just getting worse and worse because of all the new technologies that are coming out, all the different ways to meet people, these different weird and random apps. So I definitely think it's getting worse because I think everyone's just a little bit too accessible now. So it's actually made the whole dating thing worse.
Worse? Being accessible? Don't you think your chances of finding someone would increase with that accessibility?
Well, you think so, but if you're someone who is on numerous apps, then you might find it surprising when you're, you know, swiping left and right, you're going to see the same faces. So then when you do meet someone, there's this like sort of hesitation because it's like, oh, it's really nice to meet you, but I've kind of seen you on like five or six other apps. So how many people are you talking to? How many dates are you going on? And when you're starting out, you're not really relaxed because you have that hesitation because you're not sure how many people they're talking to and if you're kind of one of many. So that's why it becomes a bit of a problem.
Do you think that maybe it's not necessarily that people are like, oh, you know, you have so many profiles. Maybe it's because like they just don't know how to communicate. I know a lot of people who use multiple dating apps and their reasoning is that, hey, if I'm on all these sites, I have more chances of meeting somebody. And then when they do meet them, they're kind of like socially awkward to begin with.
Oh, well, I think people have become socially awkward, full stop, you know, and that's to do with the fact that no one's got time for each other. We're all kind of in this crazy rat race and everyone's using text speak or texting or leaving little voice notes. What's happened to picking up the phone? What's happened to going out for coffee, you know, meeting up? So because this has all changed in that people don't have time, they're kind of cash rich, time poor. When you are presented with someone and you go to meet someone for the first time, you actually don't know what to do because you're not used to socializing so much anymore.
So what would you recommend people do on a first date? Because, you know, I think that's kind of changed, too, what exactly a first date would entail. Because, you know, for me, when I was a kid, my first date would go to a movies, you know, or just a quick fast food restaurant, you know, because we didn't have a lot of money as kids. But now, as an adult, what do you think a first date should be then?
Well, first of all, you don't go to the cinema because then you're not communicating and you're not testing someone's communication skills. So that's number one. But there is this idea that if you go for coffee, you're kind of interviewing the person, that it's quite quick to escape because you can have a coffee and go, oh, it's really nice to meet you. You know, I'm going to go or I don't think there's anything here. And you can just remove yourself from the situation quite quickly. Because if you go for dinner, then you're locked in. It's, are you going to have starters? Are you going to have main? Are you going to have dessert? And if you're really hating the experience, it's kind of difficult to get away. But then the royal they say that going out for dinner means that you've got bona fide intentions and that you really want to invest in getting to know someone and you want to set an evening aside. So the kind of date that you have as an adult, the royal they say that it depicts your intention. So, you know, if you're going for coffee, it's kind of like, I'm just going to suss you out before I really invest any time and money in you by, you know, going out for drinks and dinner. And if you're going out for dinner, then you must really be keen on the person because you're investing time and money in getting to know them.
What about going to an event like a convention or, I don't know, like a hiking? I mean, couldn't you do that too? Or does that portray something else?
Not at all. Honestly, doing dates are the best. There's even a website dedicated to meeting someone and throwing yourself into doing something. So shared interest. It's absolutely the best way because you're going to sat across the table from someone having dinner and you can feel awkward. because it's like, oh, have I got spinach in my teeth or something? You know, am I eating too quickly? Am I eating too much? And all this craziness is going through your head and you feel like you're under the spotlight. Whereas if you go and do something, you've got something to talk about. So, I don't know, let's say you go bowling, for example, and you're not able to bowl straight as a woman. Great excuse for a guy to come up behind you and go, hey, do you want me to show you? And, you know, if you're going rambling and walking and hiking, then you can take in the scenery. And if there's a quiet moment, then, you know, you can say, oh, I can't these nice flowers, or isn't that a nice house in the, you know, in the background? And you can use those things as talking points in order to avoid the silences and not feel like it's the me show and that the pressure's on you to just talk about yourself and have verbal diarrhea. You can use those things to, you know, move the conversation in different directions, basically. So a doing date, 100%, is much less pressure than going out for dinner.
My cousin, he uses a lot of dating apps, and I've noticed one of the things he likes to do is, he doesn't call it that, but I do. It's kind of like he's stalking them on their social media sites. Like, oh, you know, she's interested in me. Let me go check out her Facebook. Do you think that maybe you shouldn't check out their Facebook? Because then what can, you know, I told him, what are you going to talk about when you meet her?
100%. You might see something you don't want to see either. The worst thing of all is when you go and check someone out and then you see that you've got friends in common, on natural instinct is to go, hey, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, why? Oh, you know, you either say I'm going on a date with them, so can you give me some intel? Or, you know, just asking. And my biggest pet peeve about this one is we all bring out a different side of somebody. So whatever that person has to say about said person might not be what you're going to pick up and not going to be the way they interact with you. And what someone can say about your potential date might deter you from going on the date altogether. So I really don't believe in being a snooper. Plus, when you do snoop on someone, I promise you, you will say something that sounds familiar and you will give the game away that you've snooped on them. And people really don't like being Googled and snooped on, and it feels a bit creepy and stalkerish. So I really don't advocate it. And I'd really suggest that you get to know someone for yourself by yourself.
You know, and I think that's kind of contradictory to it, because if I'm meeting somebody on an app and it's almost like a snapshot of them and they have like, oh, their Facebook is attached to this profile, it's almost like saying, yeah, go ahead, you can go look me up. And then on the flip side, they're like, oh, how dare you snoop on me? Like, oh, how stalker are you? And I mean, when it comes down to it, is technology really not helping the dating world?
Absolutely not. But I would say that as singles, first of all, you want to have the best profile picture, and you want your profile picture to look like what's on your dating app. But lock down your profile anyway, because it's such a scary world out there. You don't really want everything on show, and you don't want prospective dates to look you up and see something that they shouldn't, or misinterpret something, and then you never get a date at all. So in that sense, it's absolutely creating problems for singles, because people are stalking. And I think people like the opportunity to present themselves to you and for you to get to know each other on a personal level and slow and steady, and not go and, you know, trawl the internet to go and find out what you can and play detective. Because then actually, what are you going to talk about afterwards, unless it's going to then turn into an interview where it's like, oh, I saw on your Facebook on Tuesday that you went to, I don't know, the cinema. How did you like that movie? And then it's like, if you didn't give me an opportunity to say how my week was, you already know. So it ruins the conversation, I think, in so many ways.
So in a way, it's like you almost have to be surprised. Like, okay, no spoilers. I can't look at your Facebook. I can't really see what you're doing. Just to go in there. That's what you should do. That's the best way.
Yeah, just trust the person, because relationships are built on a variety of foundations, and one of them is trust. So trust the person, and whatever they've said on the app or on the phone or in text, whatever, just trust it and go with it. And liars will always get found out, but don't start off by not trusting them, because really that's what you're doing. You're not trusting what they're saying to you when you're first connecting, and you want to kind of reaffirm it by playing detective. And I don't think it starts things off on the right note.
Going back to my cousin, one of the things I've noticed with him too is that since he's like on Tinder and all these other things, I think it's Plenty of Fish. Anyways, it seems like he's always on a date. I don't know. And it's kind of like he's looking for a girlfriend, but there's just something about her he doesn't like. Like, he's being a bit picky. Do you think that when it comes to the dating apps and websites, that they kind of allow you to be on this perpetual dating cycle?
Well, I think that some people, unfortunately, as we get older, our social circles change. And if you're single and your friends are now married with kids, dating, what have you, they're less available and they're doing a couple of things. So as a single who's now having friends drop off, you don't have a social life. And so what some people do is they replace the social life with serial dating in order to give themselves a social life and to have people to have experiences with. And that's kind of the wrong way to look at it. It should be, I want to go on dates within the time frame that I've got. So if you're free Monday to Friday, then fine, go out Monday to Friday if you want. But then focus on one person, like find one person to become your social buddy and your partner, and not use it as a way to fulfill a social void, basically, in your life. And I think if you're serial dating, after a period of time, it can become a way of life, and then it's hard to break the cycle because you're so excited by meeting all these new and interesting people that actually being in the company of one person for any period of time seems boring. So you are putting yourself in a bit of a risky situation.
How would you change that? I mean, like, if you find yourself in that kind of cycle, how would you know when to stop? Should you just stop dating for a while?
I think that you clearly are not comfortable in your own space and you're in your own company, and that's something that you must address, because you can't rely on another person to fill your social life and only do things with them. So you first need to get comfortable within your own space. So, yeah, maybe taking a break is a good idea. And then when you're talking to people on the app, just focus on one person at a time. And if for some reason someone doesn't take your fancy or you've lost interest, just move on. Politely tell them as well. Don't just ghost them, but move on. And the reason I'm saying this is because you need to learn to focus on one person at one time. Because if you're talking to several people, you're never going to remember anything about them. And it's going to be very hard to engage with them in real life, because you'll be like, oh my God, who was this one? Did they say this or did they say that? And then it's going to cause problems with the conversation. And also, when someone's really looking for something long-term, they don't want to be going on a date with someone who's a serial dater. It's just going to be a complete and utter mismatch. That person's going to be wanting someone who's wanting to commit. But if you're serial dating, you're not putting the vibe out there that you're commitment material, so people are going to avoid you. So you're actually ruining your chances in a way, because you just know when someone's a serial dater, because you'll say, what are you doing tomorrow? Or what did you do last night? And the only answer is going on a date. And it makes you feel like, oh, so am I just part of some cycle? You know, am I part of a list? And it makes you feel devalued. So that person's not going to come back for more unless you can say, but actually, I really like you and I'm going to cancel all the dates that I've got coming up and just focus on you. And that's the only way to gain control of the situation again. But it's a really difficult cycle to break once you've got yourself in that mentality.
Okay, so let's say that you decided on dating a person, like, okay, this is the person I'm going to be with. Do you think that you should put them on your Facebook or like add them as a friend and
no.
let them see your stuff?
No.
Or no? No? Like, straight out, no.
I know where your questions are going, and the answer is no. You know, spend time getting to know someone, because when you add someone on your Facebook straight away, then the stalker tendency comes back again, because then it's like, I wonder where they are today. Oh, they told me they were going to the cinema on Thursday. I might check on their Facebook to see if they've, you know, updated it to say they've gone to the cinema. It's just the trust thing isn't there when you first meet someone, and you kind of want to become a bit of a detective just to affirm your own thoughts, and it's not healthy. And again, it comes back to conversation. If you're stalking someone on Facebook, then things are going to come up. It's going to be, who's this person that you're always in the picture with? Is that your ex? Or, oh, you seem to hang out with this person quite a lot. Are they your best friend? And you're not allowing information to come out naturally. And again, it goes back to being put on the spotlight, under the spotlight even, and conversation becomes like an interview. And it just cannot move on from there. Because you just want to be trusted, and you want conversation to flow naturally, and you want information about your life and yourself to come out naturally whilst you bounce off each other.
So you think that if somebody was to add them as a friend on Facebook, that it would accelerate the relationship in a bad way then?
I don't even think it would accelerate it. It would cause reason for concern, and it would bring a lot of things into question. Now, I'm not saying don't add someone full stop, but I think unless you're actually dating and you're in a relationship, keep the mystery there. That's what the honeymoon period is about when you first meet someone. It's new, it's interesting, it's exciting. So why would you want to cloud that or destroy it in any way by adding each other all over social? Because then, as I said, you don't need to ask someone what are you up to, because if you're Instagramming all the time, then it's like, oh, I know your movements because you document it all over the place. And I just think it ruins the conversation, and it just ruins the magic a little bit. And that's from my experience as well, not just my clients and my viewpoint.
That's a good point, because it's kind of true. I mean, the trust aspect of it is kind of like, well, if you said you weren't going to be somewhere on Thursday, then I'm going to trust you and, you know, that's it. But I don't know. What happens if you go on their Facebook and you found out that he went to a club? I mean, wouldn't that be a great way for you to say, like, oh, red flags, I should probably break it off before it gets too serious? Or is it like an overreaction at that point?
But that's just it. You know, plans can change, but you already get called into question. It's like, instead of innocent until found guilty, it's guilty, and then you have to prove your innocence. And it can just cause a lot of problems, basically. And as I said, plans can change. It might be you decided to go to a restaurant initially, but then it was like, actually, I feel like having a fun night out, let's go clubbing. And then the other person has seen it, and it's like, oh, you're a liar. I didn't think you were going clubbing. I thought you were having a quiet one. But as I said, plans can change, and you will automatically get defensive, because within dating these days, as I said before, with people being on multiple apps, trust is so hard to find initially. It's like trust really has to be earned these days. Whereas, you know, yesteryear, before all the apps came into play, I think trust was easier to establish than it is today.
I don't know. When it comes to social media, I'm half and half on it, because it's like it's social media is supposed to be like a window into your life, not necessarily like your day-by-day diary. And I think it depends on how you play with it, is if whether or not you should allow someone to be part of your social media circle. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I know when it comes to my cousin, he actually doesn't have a lot of social media. And that's probably one of the reasons I'm surprised that he gets a lot of dates, because for other people, it's kind of like, well, they'll ask, hey, what's your Facebook? What's your Twitter? And it's, if you don't have one, a lot of times they don't even want to try a date with you, because they're going to end up looking you up. What do you do if you don't have social media and people start asking you about, like, hey, why don't you have a Facebook?
I was in that situation, so I can tell you firsthand. It does, again, not me personally, because I understood why this person didn't have any social media account, but it makes you look like, what have you got to hide? Is this your real name? Who are you? It just makes you go on the back foot a little bit, because supposedly everyone is on social somewhere. But the truth is, depending on what age group you're in, a lot of people are pulling back because they're finding it too noisy and too intrusive. So you'll find that I think 35 plus, quite a few of them are pulling back and turning everything off because they just want some more privacy. But that's it, really. A lot of people just want to be private. They don't want to be on everyone's radar. And it's quite well known and documented that employers do go looking at your social as well. And they check you out with a view to, do I want to employ you? And then when they are employing you, they scan your social media to make sure that when you're putting a sickie, you're not out partying and so on. And people are fed up of the whole Big Brother thing, and they just want to maintain some privacy. But when you meet someone who isn't on social, as I said, it just makes people question, who are you? Are you the real deal? Because, again, we know now there's so much catfishing out there, and it's made people really scared to trust people that they don't know, who aren't part of their friendship circle, who aren't part of a community. You're a complete and utter stranger, and you have to take someone on face value, and it's really, really hard to do.
That's so true. You're about the catfishing. I didn't even think of that, but you're right. There are a lot of catfishers out right now, and it makes the dating pool on the internet kind of bad. Would you suggest that maybe you should just go out and meet somebody at the club now? Or at this point, it's kind of like, just be cautious when you're dating online?
I think just be cautious offline and online. It's really hard for me to say this, but it's the truth. There are many people out there, men and women, who take their rings off when they go out, and some people don't wear rings at all. And when they're hit on, some people can't say no, or some people want to be hit on. And many times, you know, my clients have met married people and it wasn't revealed straight away. And it's just the way it is. So you do just generally have to be cautious and go slow. You can't really afford to rush with somebody, because you don't know if they're like part of a catfishing circle or they're a catfish themselves. they're a future faker, you know, they're disingenuous in some way. You really just have to sort of tread cautiously and protect yourself, protect your assets, and protect your emotions as well.
You said that a lot of people are opting to not be on social media. Where do you think the future of dating is going to be, especially if people aren't on social media anymore? I mean, like, then where are they going to go to find a date?
Real life. That's what it's called. It's called old-fashioned dating, and it's called real life. Honestly, a lot of people that I talk to, clients, groups, you know, whoever I'm communicating with, they all say they're fed up of it and they want it to go back to how it was in the old days, which is, you know, going out for coffee with friends, you've got someone on the other table, you get chatting on the aeroplane, you know, whatever you're sort of socializing and hanging out. Everywhere you are, even in the queue at the checkout, it's all an opportunity to meet and speak to someone. And I think people have realized as well their social skills are lacking, as we said before. And I'd say, again, it's a 35-plus crowd. They are stepping back from the apps. It's not exciting anymore. They've grown with it. It's saturated. And they want the real-life interactions now. And so I'd say people are going out. They're, you know, going to meetups more. They're trying to get groups of friends together. They're hosting house parties, all in a bid to have real-life interactions with a view to making friends and meeting somebody.
Well, thank you, Susie, for coming on. For those that are listening, could you tell them where they can find you at?
Absolutely. Well, you've been listening to Susie Parker, and my website is www.meetyourmatch.club. That's C-L-U-B, not C-O-M. And it's at Susie Parkus on social media, which is S-U-Z-I-E-P-A-R-K-U-S.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.